Grace and peace to you in Jesus' name. Our text is the gospel, the ministry of John the Baptist. Pray with me. Lord, you promise that when your word goes forth, it is powerful and living and active. It accomplishes what you desire, always accomplishing us what you desire as we hear now. Give us the Holy Spirit, work in us repentance and faith, understanding. Draw us closer and closer to Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. You may be seated. This is the time of the year when we hear a lot of beautiful, wonderful voices. We have choirs like our choir that sing beautiful hymns to the newborn king. Even before Christmas, that's okay. And they praise him and praise him. Then we might go to a hospital or a nursing home and hear carolers cheering up the people, singing Christmas carols. Then on the radio and on the TV, there's numerous Christmas programs with beautiful voices singing. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, jingle bells, deck the halls, so forth. Lots of beautiful, wonderful voices all over the place, especially in December. Today's gospel lesson is different. We have one voice. And we might say that voice isn't so beautiful and so wonderful. It might be quite hoarse and tough and ugly. And the challenge today for the church is, will we listen to this one voice in the wilderness of all places? Or will it be drowned out by all the other voices of the world? What voice are you really hearing and responding to? I want to say four simple things about John the Baptist, the voice. Notice Isaiah just calls him a voice of one crying. Don't worry about John. Don't worry about his name, really who he is. Don't worry about his personality and all that. He's just a voice. Focus on what he's saying, not him, what he's saying. And four things about this voice. First of all, quite obviously and quite simply, this is the Lord's voice. When John preaches out there, he's not sharing his own opinions about sin. Oh, he's just some rambling nut, the world would say today. He's off on sin. Don't worry, pay attention to him. He's judgmental. This is not John's own feelings. It's not John's own opinions. It's not John's own ideas. And just discard it. This is the words of God himself. His voice is the Lord's voice. Thus we pay attention. And we learn something about our Lord and the fact that he would use a guy like John out in the wilderness to preach. A couple things come to mind. Our God, as I mentioned with the children, is so humble. When it comes to his word, he is not a flashy, showy God. He's humble. This man in camel's hair eating locusts out in the desert. You see, there had not been a prophet before John the Baptist for 400 years. The Jews said, we haven't had a prophet for 400 years since Malachi of the Old Testament. Now there's John the Baptist. About 400 years. So they were longing for a prophet to come and give them God's word. And they probably thought that when God's word was going to come, I mean, there'd be trumpets in the sky. There'd be lights in the sky. There'd be a choir singing that let us know there's a prophet here. And there'd probably be several prophets, not just one. But God's ways are different. A humble, lowly, oddball character out in a wilderness. God's not so much into style, you see. God doesn't come in stylish ways because God knows that we are so shallow, we are such shallow, shallow, sinful people that we get more caught up in God's style than what the substance is. And that's what we're all about. Style, style, style. We could care less about substance, of what it really is. So God won't go into style. He's not glamorous. So we focus on the substance, the Word of God. We need to be like kids at Christmas when they have the present. Does a little kid, when he has that present on his lap, does he care whether the wrapping paper is red, green, polka dot, purple, or black? He could care less. He rips it open. Get this paper out of here. I want to see what it is. And this needs to be us with God's Word. What is it? Not who is teaching it and all that, but what is it? What's it say? What's it mean? Give me the substance and give me faith to believe it, God. And also it's of note to me that the Word of God is always top priority. God does not plant John the Baptist in the middle of Jerusalem, where it's really easy to listen to him. God doesn't put him on the radio or on cable TV. Just lay in bed and turn on your TV and listen to John the Baptist. God puts him out in a desert, an ugly, dry, hot desert with not a whole lot out there, in a river. The people have to make an effort, leave their homes, leave their jobs, leave their busy, busy lives, and leave all that to come out and see John the Baptist. There's something very important about that. You want my word, God is saying? Leave your life. Leave your busyness. I'm not going to make it so easy on you. Leave your busy, busy life of all the other voices you hear. Leave all that for a while and come have quiet time in my word. Come to church and come often. You know, the travel from Jerusalem to the Jordan River is about 15, 20 miles. This is not an easy walk for people. This is 15, 20 miles. They make a great effort to go out and listen to John's voice. God intends that. This is faith. This is the power of God's word drawing people. Leave all that. It's not important anyway. Come and listen to my word. You know, they travel 15, 20 miles, probably a day or two walk, and some of us can't get out of bed, and we live 5 minutes away because we're so lazy. Will you find your quiet time with God this season? Away from the I know you're busy. I'm so busy, Pastor. Get over it. God's God. God's most important. His word has priority. Nothing else. And come here and have devotion at home. The Lord's voice. Secondly, we are reminded this is a loud voice. John is a voice of one crying in the wilderness. He's not whispering. He's not talking. He is crying. And the idea is here is he's loud. He is yelling. He is screaming. And more than just the loudness, it really means he's pleading. He's begging. He's imploring the people. Repent, people. This is heaven and hell. That this is your chance. Be baptized and do it now. And the crying of John, the loudness of John, number one, is to get our attention. It's really sad that the God of the universe has to talk loud and plead to get our attention. After all, this is the God of the universe. This is the Almighty God. He has to cry and plead to get our attention. This is His love. His great love for us wayward people who want to listen to so much other stuff. I will talk loudly and plead with you because I love you so much. And also the loudness of John teaches us how serious his words are. John is an in-your-face, blunt prophet. And this is serious, this Advent and Christmas. It's not reindeer and Santa Claus and chimneys and presents and lights. This is the Son of God come to earth. This is heaven and hell. This is repentance or rejection, life or death. You're for him or against him. This is serious stuff, John reminds us of. And I think the devil's done a really good job of making Advent and Christmas just about all the extras. It's a lighthearted season of the year. And I go to parties and I sip my special drink. And I go to another party and do that too and have some cookies, sip my drink. And I go shopping and I'll go shopping here and shopping there. It's all lighthearted. See Santa Claus, see Rudolph, maybe even watch Frosty with the kids. It's all so lighthearted and peaceful and wonderful. And if you and your kids don't know Jesus, you all end up in hell. And John puts his hand down. The extras are okay if they don't get in the way, and often they do, so they're not so okay. It's not a season of extras. John says, examine yourself. Where's the examination of me and my God? Where is my relationship with my God? And where is my relationship with my family and other people? Confess. Repent. Christ stands to forgive and wash. I have told you before that at Christmas I would get a big box of the Lifesaver candies, the Book of Lifesavers. That's a nice gift for the pastor. I'm giving up fudge this year. Lifesaver candies. Okay, Pat, you're on it. You give me some anyway, don't you? And you think that I would suck on Lifesaver candy all Christmas time? You'd be wrong. I didn't suck on it. What would I do? I just chew it. Just chew the candy. And I just bite it and chew it and eat it. I had three brothers. I got to eat it fast. And my mom would hear me chomping the Lifesaver candy. And what would mom say? You're going to what? You're going to rot your teeth. You're going to rot your teeth, Paul. You're going to rot your teeth. Stop. You're going to rot your teeth. Well, John is crying. World, you're rotting your heart. Your heart is rotten. It's evil and wicked and greedy and gluttonous and lustful. Your heart is rotten. You got to have a cure. And the cure is the Son of God, Jesus, in the manger on the cross. Come get him. Here, eat and drink. Your heart's rotting. Do you care? His is a loving voice. Very, very loving voice. John does not leave the people in despair. Okay, the axe is at the root. Fire's coming. You brood of vipers. Now get on out of here. You're all going to be damned anyway. Leave. John gives comfort and love. He points them to Jesus. After me will come one stronger than I, more powerful. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. This great one's coming, this powerful one, the Son of God, the Messiah. Now believe in him, trust in him. He'll take the axe for you. He'll suffer the fire for you. He'll become the viper for you, the snake. He'll become sin for you. Trust in him. Follow him. Believe in him. He's your Savior. He points people to Jesus. And then he baptizes them for the forgiveness of their sins. You know, if you went out to see John, you probably thought, oh my, John's going to give me about 19 things I got to do to repent. And here they are. Here's the list. I got to do blank, 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 blank. I got to please God. Here's all the stuff I got to do. And John says, be baptized. And have your sins washed away. To prepare the heart, God does it. God prepares his own way in your heart by washing you. God makes his own path straight by coming to you straightly in the water of baptism and forgiving you. And straight in bread and wine and feeding you. God washes, God cleanses, God saves. Be baptized. You know, I read where here in Knoxville, saddened me, there's a church today celebrating, guess what? Ugly Christmas Sweater Day. I'm not joking. To them, it's not the second Sunday in Advent. This is Ugly Christmas Sweater Day. So wear your ugly Christmas sweater to church. Ha, ha, ha. This annoys me and angers me. A mockery of the house of God to do such a thing. Look at me and my ugly Christmas sweater. Ha, ha, ha. Gimmicks and games. This isn't of John the Baptist. I'm here to proclaim to you who believe and are baptized. You believe you're baptized in the name of Jesus. You are wearing right now a beautiful Christmas sweater. And you wear it not just today, but every day of your life. It is called the robe of Christ's righteousness. That's what you wear, you who believe and are baptized. You are beautiful in God's eyes, without spot or wrinkle. You're perfect in God's eyes. You're washed and cleansed, covered in the righteousness of Jesus by virtue of your baptism. Now that's worth celebrating. Our beautiful Christmas robes and sweaters every day of our lives. Last of all, John's voice is a lonely voice. He's all out there by himself. He might have a few other followers, probably does, but his is a lonely voice. The only voice calling on people to repent, be baptized, wearing camel's hair, eating locusts and wild honey. And he would remind us that sometimes as Christians, we feel very lonely. We're the only Christian at work, the only Christian at school. My friends don't go to church. They don't care about Christ. They believe in other stuff. People at work defame the name of Christ. They curse. They swear. They gossip. I'm not into that. You may feel very, very lonely when you're a Christian. But you're not. For God is with you, the angels are with you, all of heaven is with you, the saints are with you, we the church are with you. So stand strong. The whole world runs to the mall this season. You make sure you run here and bow down and receive the mercy of God often. The whole world goes to party after party. You make sure you come here and praise God and praise God and praise God with your voices. The whole world waits for Santa Claus. Parents, you teach your children to wait for the second coming of Jesus Christ in glory, to be ready in faith and be baptized. Teach them what that means. The whole world looks under the tree for the presents. We Christians look on the tree for the gift of God's Son and forgiveness and eternal life. And we praise him for the cross. You know, Barbara Walters has her special coming out, as she always does at the end of the year. Fascinating People of America. Who are the 10 most fascinating people of America? And she has on there, I'm not even going to watch, but Kim Kardashian. Now, she's fascinating. I just call her a fool. Miley Cyrus. She's fascinating. I call her a fool. We're not here to be fascinating. We're here to be faithful. And may we stand out, if God so wills it, by being faithful. I trust my Jesus. I hold on to my Jesus' word. I eat his body and drink his blood. I follow my Jesus. We stand out by being faithful and then by being forgiving. We forgive 70 times, 7 times. We make peace and we proclaim the forgiveness of God for sins. That's how we stand out. And we may be very, very lonely as we are faithful to God and we forgive other people. But so be it. Whose voice are you going to listen to? Will you listen to this odd voice in the wilderness? This is the Lord's voice. This is a loud voice. Repent and do it now. Be baptized now. A loving voice. You're forgiven. A lonely voice. I pray you and your family listen to this voice. Amen. Let's stand.